Let us pray. Father, we are aware of your presence here by your Holy Spirit today. We give you thanks now for your many blessings that you've poured out on us as a congregation over the years, and to each one of us as individuals and as families in this community. We thank you for these blessings. We ask you now to receive from us with grateful hearts these our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we pray that you will multiply them as we use them diligently for your kingdom work, here and abroad. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't you wish you had that much energy?
Good morning. Small, but I felt like dancing too, but Donna wouldn't let me. Wow, it's been a busy weekend. What was Friday? What happened on Friday? Hearts, you know, red. Valentine's Day. How'd that go? Okay. Then, what's this weekend? Valentine's Day. No, and it's Family Day weekend. And the Olympics are on. So lots of love going on. We love our, whoever we're with, our family. We love our family. We love our country. You know, oh, lots of love going on. One at a time. Oh. Okay. All gone in the forest? Oh, well, you found your way out. You're here. Okay. I'll have to get a translator later for that. Anyways, and then we get to sing with the praise group. That was amazing singing, don't you think? We had fun, great time singing. That's one of my favorite songs, is one of them we sang today. You watch the Olympics? Yes, I was watching this morning. We won a silver medal this morning. Anyways, my wife said don't draw this out, so I better hurry up. Okay, and this morning we're having a special service about love as well. Lisa and Ryan are dedicating their little boy, Andrew. You know what dedication means? They're dedicating, they're going to bring their son up to love the Lord, and they're going to and in a Christian home. It's very cool. Anyways, we're going to have a special service. So you guys aren't going to go downstairs right away, okay? You're going to stay up so we can see Andrew get dedicated in front of all of us so we can join in together, okay? So let's pray, and then you maybe stay here or go back to your seats, wherever you want to go. Okay, and then you go downstairs. Okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for Andrew, and thank you for his family. In the name we ask. Amen.
Yeah, at this time we are going to have a baby dedication. So let me just introduce that. Dedication of a child to the Lord is a solemn occasion. We read of it in Scripture, certainly, of the dedication of Samuel in the temple and the dedication of Jesus in the temple. And for us, it's an occasion where family and friends and parents, of course, and the congregation make vows to each other regarding the upbringing and the Christian nurture of that child. So when the family comes up here, I will be asking them to make some vows, and I'll be asking their family and friends of them to make vows as well. And I'll ask the whole congregation if they too will make vows for these children, this child, Andrew. We read in Scripture in Matthew 18:5, "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." We need to ponder that, because sometimes little children can be disruptive. They can make noise in church, okay, and they can cry out, okay. But Jesus says, whoever welcomes a little child like me, like this, in my name, welcomes me. And later in Mark's gospel, he says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Children are indeed a gift from God. Ryan and Lisa, would you come forward and bring little Andrew with you? Ryan and Lisa, you have brought Andrew here today to be blessed and dedicated to the Lord. Will you commit to raising him in the faith by making these following promises? Do you recognize and solemnly declare your dependency on Almighty God for the wisdom, help, and blessing you will need to guide and nurture Andrew? Do you commit yourselves to instruct Andrew in the teachings of Jesus Christ, to read the Word of God regularly, and to pray with and for your child? Do you intend to raise Andrew in the church family with the prayer that in due time he may receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord? Now can I ask the family and friends that have come if you would stand, please? Will you, family and friends, commit to support Ryan and Lisa in the raising of Andrew, to be an encouragement to them as they seek to bring Andrew to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You do. Thank you. Now, congregation, would you stand, please? Do you, the congregation of Christian Baptist Church, commit to support and encourage Ryan and Lisa in their commitment to raise Andrew in the church and to support their desire to have him instructed in the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ? Please remain standing. Loving Father, let us pray. Loving Father, we, your people, pray for this family, for Ryan, for Lisa, and for their lovely son, Andrew. Guide them in the ways of truth, sustain them in times of difficulty, and bless them with the joys of life in Christ. We, the people of Christian Baptist Church, commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of all children you have entrusted to our care. We offer you ourselves, our time, our gifts, and our resources in this ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Andrew, it's a scary thought, but this is your family out here. These are other members of your family. Can you wait? Got a big smile. Let me pray for Andrew. Andrew, may the Lord richly bless you. May you know him from the early years of your life. May you grow in faith. May you make Jesus Lord and Savior early on in your years. May you live in a happy and holy home. I pray this for you in Jesus' name. Amen. My children all slept through. Please be seated. Let's pray. We've gathered here to worship our Heavenly Father, and he has blessed us with his presence by his Spirit this morning. And so we are now in the very presence of God. He bids us come to him in prayer. And so we do, with humble hearts, but with grateful hearts. Heavenly Father, it is with joy that we, as the family of God, the children of God, come before you this morning. We know of your love, you've teach us of your love in Scripture, you show us your love through Jesus Christ, and we are grateful. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in our congregation. Lord, we think of Janet Allen's mother who has pneumonia and heart issues. Lord, we pray for Janet in Ottawa now, caring for her mother. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bring peace and healing. And Lord, we pray for Nora Curran, dear Nora, and her husband Dave. Norma's had a few spills, a few falls this week. Lord, we ask you to bring stability to her body and health. And Lord, we ask for your peace upon David as he visits with her every day. Lord, we ask for our friend Al with his hip problems and his ongoing health issues. Lord, we pray for healing, that he will be restored, him and Barb will be restored to our fellowship soon. Lord, we lift up Marge to you with her knee surgery, Lord, and her recovery from knee surgery. We pray that will go quickly, and she too will be once again in our fellowship. Lord, we pray for safety in Sochi. We give you thanks that there's been no terrorist attacks or violence there, Lord, which we anticipated. Lord, we pray that will continue for the duration of the games. Lord, we pray for safety in these sports, these fast sports, Lord, injuries. Lord, we pray that all the athletes will be remain healthy throughout the games. And now in the quietness of this place, in the quietness of your own hearts, lift up your prayers to your Heavenly Father, for he is here with us and he is listening and he's waiting to hear from you. Father God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. Lord, we pray that your presence by your Holy Spirit will remain in all of our hearts. The peace that passes all understanding will remain in our homes, particularly this family day, this family weekend. We ask these prayers, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Last week, our message was about fishing. And we talked about the motif of the fishing vessel that Jesus used. The disciples he called were fishermen. And we looked at several of those passages about the fishing boat itself. And we talked about the work that must go on a fishing vessel. We came to understand that a fishing boat is, it's not a cruise ship. It's a working ship. And everybody on that has a job to do. And there are no passengers. Everybody's got a job, so they must find out what that job is and they must do it diligently. We discovered that it was teamwork, and that we're all called to work together. We have to make sure that our financial resources are up to keeping the sufficient funds to keep the ship going, as we use that analogy in the church. And we likened our congregation to a team of fishermen and women. Everybody's got a job. We've got to share the role. We've got to share the jobs with someone. We must discern our role aboard this ship. And we must get a clear sense of our purpose and direction we're going, and we must work together to do that. There has to be teamwork. There has to be cooperation. There has to be collaboration. There has to be communication. But most of all, there has to be love. And our key verse today is from 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. Paul admonishing the believers in Corinth, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage. Men and women, we would say today, be people of courage, be strong. And then he says, do everything in love. At weddings, we often read the what's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and we read parts of it. And in verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, every one of us can look at that list, and there will be at least one, if not many, of these areas where we have failed, or we fail frequently. I'd like to do a little exercise right here and right now. You don't have to have a show of hands. But I'd like to read through that list slowly. And while you're there in your seat, close your eyes. You're in the presence of God. So it's time for truthfulness between you and God, not between you and the person sitting next to you, but between you and God. As I go through this list, think of where you have a weakness. And if you really want to be honest with yourself, where this is a recurring failure for you, and you need the grace of God to overcome it. Love is patient. Is there some person or some situation that tries your patience, and you don't have the patience? Love is kind. Are your words and actions to other people kind? Or are there times when you're unkind? Love does not envy. Are you envious at times? Does that emotion rise up in you in uncontrollable ways? Love does not boast. It is not proud. Can you at times be boastful about what you have, what you've accomplished, what you've done? Does your pride overcome you? Is this something you need to deal with God today? Are you rude to people? Is your manner of addressing people, particularly when there's a disagreement, does rudeness take the place of civility? Love is not self-seeking. Are we looking out for number one? Is it all about me? We're before God now. We've placed ourselves before the throne of God. Is it all about number one? Is it all about me? Do you bristle easily? Do you get a little prickly at times? Scripture says love is not easily angered. Does your anger rise up? Are you too ready for that outburst? Do you keep a list? Do you keep a grudge? Do you remember and recall what people have said and done to you, or said to you or about you? Love doesn't do any of those things. Can any one of us honestly say, none of the above? Raise your hand here today if you can honestly say none of the above. Because if you do, can I take you back to boastful and proud? We all fail. This is a high, high bar that Scripture sets for us, that Paul sets for us. And it's a high bar because we are the people of God. We are the ones who are the walking Jesus in this world. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And our dealings with people should be at the highest, highest level. But because we're fallen, we sin, and sometimes we make a mistake, and that's when apology is needed, repentance is needed, and forgiveness is needed. Paul goes on in this text and says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Is that story the truth? Love always protects, guards people's dignity. It always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. These are the words of God in Scripture for us today. You can see here that we're not talking about the romantic love that we have when a young couple, we had a beautiful wedding here yesterday. Family members are here today. Beautiful, beautiful wedding. Lovely couple, lovely families. And the peak of romantic love is when they make their vows together. But we're not talking about romantic love. We're talking about agape love here. We're talking about the love that we have the ability to give because we have the Spirit of God inside us, that we have that ability to have selfless love for one another and for the people around us. Jesus demonstrated this by going to the cross, he who was without sin, he who could say none of the above. How much are we prepared to sacrifice to show our love for the other? Now, we all fall and we all fail in these categories. Some of us all the time, some of us infrequently. But once confessed, you are forgiven. Jesus, God, does not keep a list of your wrongdoings. So let's not keep a list of each other's wrongdoings. All right? Okay. He doesn't keep a list. We shouldn't either. Paul finishes the passage with the statement, love never fails. And at the conclusion of that chapter, it says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is? The greatest gift we can give each other is to love that way, is to forgive quickly, to confess quickly, to repent quickly, and let's get it done and behind us so we can move on in love and friendship. So where do you stand today? In your workplace, in your school, in your community, the apartment you live in, the community you live in? Are you known as the one who is patient, kind, never envious, never boastful, humble, not proud, never rude, never self-seeking, not quick to anger? Can we strive to be that? That's the light the world so desperately needs. Loving people, patient people, kind people. We're in a world that's so rude, to sum it all up. And we're living in a world that's so rude. We need to be the people who are stepping out and being different. In preparing this message, I was looking at all the challenges in Scripture to love, and I came across John 13, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. And I stopped and I said to myself, why is that new? Why is it new, Jesus? A new command. The only conclusion I can come to is, of course, that people didn't love each other. And I think we have evidence of that all around our world today. People just don't love one another. Humans just don't love. So it's a new command. Maybe today it's a new command for you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, if a church or a congregation has frictions and factions, and one group doing this and another group saying that, that's not love. And the community will know it. The community will know it. So going back to our fishing boat metaphor from last week, we're all working together on this fishing boat, at least we all should be. There can't be any passengers. And as we work alongside one another, we must be seen to be doing everything in love. There must be grace. There must be kindness. There must be patience. And each one of us has some rough spots, some quirk of character or personality that might rub you the wrong way. So you need to give that other person some room to be who they are, who God created them to be. And you need to show them the love that Jesus has shown you, because you have a few quirks of your own, don't you? Show of hands here now. Anyone here doesn't have any quirkiness about them? Oh, one. I've got one there at the back. One perfect person there at the back. We know different. But here we are as a family, family day weekend, church family. And I don't believe in coincidence. I don't think in happenstance or just, you know, things just happening the way they happen. We're here as a family, and I believe we've been hand-picked by God to be in this place at this time, in this season, to fulfill God's purposes. Now, there are some people I'm sure we'd like to trade for a first-round draft choice, but that's not the way it works in the church, is it? God picks and says, you go to Christian Baptist. You stay at Christian Baptist. All right? We're a family. And if you've got a family, and most of us come from families, I do too, a very large family and growing family, and there are quirkiness, and there's some discomfort sometimes, and you just need to just show kindness and love. There's no room for impatience. There's no room for unkindness. There's no room for envy, boasting, prideful talk. There's no room for rudeness. There's no room for self-seeking. There's no room for being easily angered. Now, Paul wrote these things to the believers in Corinth, which was an ungodly, immoral, filthy city, filled with sin and immorality. And so he challenged the people there, the believers there, to live differently, to live kind, loving, patient lives. Can I ask the question, how like Corinth is our own city? Is it ungodly? Is there immorality in our culture, in our society? How are they going to recognize us if we live the same way as the culture? It's human nature to be impatient, to be unkind, and the rest of them. And that's the battle that goes on within. The battle that goes on within the heart of the redeemed person is the old nature, the old man, as Paul called it, and the spirit within battling for supremacy. Heard a story a long time ago of a missionary who went to the Aboriginal people, and he, after many years there, got one convert. And he left that place and went back many, many years later. Many, many years later. And he found this man. And he says, "So how's it going? How's your faith?" He says, "Well, I still have my faith," he says. "But it's like I've got two dogs fighting inside me. Two dogs. One wants me to do good, one wants me to do bad." And the missionary asked him, "Which one's winning?" He says, "The one I feed the most." See, if we feed into our sinful nature, if we practice impatience, unkindness, boastfulness, if we practice those things, we'll get good at it. If we practice love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all the fruit of the Spirit, if we practice those, we'll get good at those. So whichever dog you feed is going to be the stronger one. Paul writes about that in James 1. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Yeah, that's exactly where they come from. Do everything in love, Paul tells us. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs." When someone's done something wrong, cover it up for them. Help them fix it. Don't display it for everybody to see the mistake they've made. Come alongside. Proverbs 17 says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." Gossip. Gossip. Goes through a community very quickly. "Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he did?" You know, the sin of gossip, I don't mean to be offensive here, but the sin of gossip is condemned in Scripture more times than the sin of homosexuality. Sin of gossip destroys a family, destroys a culture, destroys a community. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And it's God's love for us, shown on the cross, that has covered over every one of your sins and my sins. The least we can do is love one another. Do everything in love, Paul says. Do everything in love. Let us pray. Father God, the first word on my lips is I repent. I repent for those times when I have not been loving. I have not been kind. I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that I may become a more loving man, a more loving husband, a more loving father and grandfather, a more loving pastor, a more loving friend. Lord, forgive all of us, for those who now are quietly in their hearts repenting of those traits, who fight inside every day. Why am I like that? Lord, give them grace. Let them know you love them anyway, that you love all of us through all of our weaknesses and all of our sins. Lord, restore to us that joy. Restore to us the joy of knowing you as Lord and Savior. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to live holy, godly lives, to be a light to our homes, to our families, to our communities. Lord, bless us, we pray. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. At this moment, if you have repented of your past, you've repented of your sins, and you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you are redeemed for eternity. Your sins have been lifted off you, and you've become a holy person, set apart for God's purposes. Go today knowing the love of God is on you. The love of God goes with you, and the peace of God abides in your heart. Go in peace. Enjoy Family Day weekend. Amen.